You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
I don't know about you, but I've often wondered what would I do if I had 8.2 million rand sitting in a bank account. Apparently, there are individuals out there that have 8.2 million rand sitting in a bank account, and they've decided that that money is best spent on what is known as a Wimbledon debenture. Quite an interesting piece of financial engineering, a financial instrument that effectively was born in a 2024 that allows the holder of the debenture access to center court tickets at arguably the biggest tennis event of our lifetimes. We're going to be taking a look at this in a bit more detail with founder at Africa Sports Unified, Gabriel Ajale, joins me on the line from the UK to see if we can make sense of this and see what all the hype is about here. Gabriel, lovely having you on our show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Wimbledon has begun officially yesterday, probably the biggest of the Grand Slams, and amidst all of this, seemingly the popularity there isn't ending, such that we now have new investment cases here.
Yeah, 100%. As you said, Wimbledon is probably the biggest of all the Grand Slam tournaments, and demand seems to continually increase year on year. I think that's down to the models that they have in place, of course. Wimbledon is based on history and prestige, but also there's an aspect of scarcity. So in terms of the hot tickets in the town, but not many of them are available. So I think that drives demand and prices moving forward.
Gabriel, let's take a look at that scarcity and that demand in a bit more detail. The debentures that were launched back in April of 2024 initially launched at a fraction of what they're retailing at the moment. The product itself, linking a financial instrument with seats that are valid for a 5-year period from this year, and we know how difficult it is to get access to Centre Court, to Wimbledon, throughout this particular time. But these seats not only being something that drives the prestige and the scarcity element that you mentioned, but clearly an investment case because they have a resale value in the market.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're seeing a slight change of model as well. But even to your point about the resale in the market, so even just doing some numbers, it's kind of tripled in terms of the pricing. So they've roughly gone around for $380,000 on resale. And that's just incredible considering when they came in and the increase in price that it's had in this moment in time. And I think this is showing, instances of slight change of market, people not just paying for, paying for live entertainment. And the prestige of being there in a world where sports and entertainment is becoming like a prestige or high-end form of leisure. I think that's why we're seeing some of these increase in prices, and that's reflecting on what's happening in Wimbledon.
Gabriel, I want to compare this with perhaps what we're seeing in the FIFA World Cup. We know, of course, that hydration breaks are all the rage in this year's World Cup, with estimates ranging from anywhere between just under $1 billion to just over $1 billion over the course of the World Cup, over, I think it's about 208 hydration breaks. The Wimbledon model with the debenture structure, clearly very, very different, and intentionally so. If we're looking at the business models that drive these sporting events, how do organizers, perhaps even asset managers in this case, start to think about their role, or perhaps leveraging the sporting side of it with the business and the commercial side?
Yeah, it's a good point, especially regarding asset managers. So like with any, I guess, asset or commodity, you look to get in, and ideally you would love to see your asset price increase over time. And we've definitely seen that with Wimbledon. I don't think Wimbledon has reached its peak yet, where maybe prices will start to plateau or even come down. I think we'll continue to see debentures continue to rise. So for example, for private equity firms, asset managers, this is an asset class, not just to Wimbledon, but to move other sports and entertainment assets, to get in early and invest in the commodity and see it grow and invest, grow and increase long term. Of course, there's other factors to this. I've mentioned in terms of the scarcity for Wimbledon, there's very limited amount of tickets, not just for Wimbledon, but for Centre Court. We obviously cannot look away from the actual quality of the players on the court. I know the days of Nadal and Federer have ended, but we've got Alcaraz, we've got Sinner, Djokovic even to an extent as well. So people are paying those premium prices for an asset class that goes up. And of course, Wimbledon has probably the most partnerships and commercial deals, the most generated revenue of all the Grand Slams. So that adds to it all. And I guess in terms of your comparison to the hydration breaks in FIFA, I'm at the World Cup. I think generally we're seeing, what's this word, like the further commercialization of sports. In tennis, it's a bit more common, even though players naturally deserve the breaks because they're playing in hot climates across the globe. I think with FIFA, especially being in America, they've perhaps seen an opportunity to further commercialize and generate revenue. Now, I'm not sure if that would be, will become commonplace in football across the globe, but it's interesting to see how that has how FIFA have introduced it, and also the appetite of I guess from spectators and people in the media like yourselves, how to take the opportunity to get further sponsorship models and commercial agreements.
Gabriel, do you think that the commercialization of sport is potentially an alternative from an investment point of view to hedge against geopolitical risks? I mean, we're looking at things like the US-Iran conflicts, the wars that have been going on throughout the world. That has had a dampener on equity markets. This is a completely different asset class, a completely different way of thinking about investments. Do you think perhaps that this starts to become popular, not because it's sports related per se, but also partly because it hedges investors against other market risks?
Potentially, I think so. But we've done a piece on this recently. I think in the geopolitical landscape that we are in, yes, sports is maybe slightly different, but it's still susceptible to these geopolitical shifts that we've seen. As you're talking about the World Cup, we've seen a lot of instances, need I say less, regarding politics being involved in football, for example. So I think they're probably looking, I think it's an asset class that can be looked at for different reasons and not so much just because of the geopolitical landscape that we're currently in.
And I suppose there is always that aspect that you get to enjoy your investment along the way. Gabriel, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on perhaps what a debenture like the Wimbledon debenture does for how it is that we structure these investments. We now have a clearer idea that it's not the traditional way of investing that we've looked at. We just alluded to the fact that it might not be for the same traditional reasons, but it also doesn't have to look like the traditional investment case. We've seen the rise of the likes of Polymarket that have just structured a deal with the Bundesliga. That is a completely a different side of investment and taking a view on a market. This potentially setting the tone for what we could look at in future.
Yeah, and I think there's common traits that we can see with quite a few of these. When there's scarcity, when there's prestige, tradable rights really converge, and you get a huge value creation. I mean, this is definitely a blueprint for hedge funds, PEs, private equity firms as well, and other asset managers globally, but especially in Africa, to perhaps look at tournaments and federations and think about premium asset models and how that can grow and move forward. We're in the global landscape, we're seeing a lot more entries into the sporting environment. Yes, in terms of federations and sports, but also players and academies and ownership. So I think we'll see that. But like I said, the commonality is investing in things that have an appreciation value going up moving forward.
Certainly some interesting things to learn, and perhaps this would have been very useful to bear in mind at the time we were looking at things called non-fungible tokens. We'll have to leave this conversation on that note, though. Thanks so much to founder at Africa Sports Unified, Gabriel Ajala, for joining us to share his thoughts on the Wimbledon debentures that have almost tripled in value in under 3 years.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.